And not only do I believe, but everyone here has anointed ears to hear this word, to hear this word. It's important. So that means that your ears are anointed to hear, to filter out anything that is non-important, anything other than hearing what is being preached upon this pulpit this morning. Any thought, any distraction, it's filtered out. Your ears are anointed today to hear this in Jesus' name. And Father, you have a plan for every service, and we've come for that plan this morning. And your will shall be accomplished today. It will, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, when you're reading the Word or you're studying, have any of you ever read something in the Bible and it just jumped out at you? You know, I'm sure that's happened to everyone, or at least it should. It speaks to you, has your name on it. You say, that scripture, that's mine. That's nobody else's, that's mine. It just comes alive to you. Well, when this word that was given to us for 2021, as Pastor Herman was reading it to me that morning, that it was given, he opened up and he read and he said, the word of the Lord for Faith Family Maui. And he started out with, hear me, carriers of my glory. Oh, right then and there, that just jumped out at me. It's not like I couldn't hear anything else, but that just went off on me, on the inside. Carriers. The Lord said, hear me. So that tells us, hear me. This is important. Hear what I have to say to you, people of God, Faith Family Maui, believers. Hear me. I've got something to say to you, and it's very important, and I want it to land in your hearts and in your spirits. And notice he says, he addresses us as carriers of his glory. Well, he could have said a lot of things. He could have said, my beloved, my, you know, the called out ones, the royal priesthood. He could have said so many things as he addressed us. But notice, and I just love that term, hear me, carriers of my glory. That, how he addressed that to us this year, this body, Faith Family Maui. That just stood up so big on the inside of me. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Carriers of his glory. And the text, the scripture, is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Out of the Amplified, it reads, and all of us, as with unveiled faces, because we continued to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured or transformed. Notice, underline, emphasis on constantly. It says, are constantly being transfigured, continually, all the time. Constantly. What are we being transformed into, transfigured? Into his very own image, his very own likeness. That's what we're being transfigured, transformed in continually, constantly. That's the Father's plan originally. After we got saved, you got born again. What's the assignment? What's the direction? Well, of course, to renew our mind, but the transforming, transfiguring into his likeness and image. We were born that way in his image, but each day we're becoming more and more and more like him. At least we should be. More and more transformed into his very own image, in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Listen to the Mirror translation. The days of window shopping are over. Yeah, days of looking out, you know, on the outside looking in, you know, where the bakery doesn't open till 5 a.m. and you're out there at 3:30 a.m. just sniffing, just smelling. Oh, I got another hour and a half before they open, you know. Window shopping, going to Neiman Marcus and hoping and wishing, you know, that their prices would come down a little bit to where you can afford it. No more window shopping for the church. And I'm just using natural examples. But Mirror says, the days of window shopping are over. We're in it. It's for real. It's ours. The Lord says, we're carriers. He didn't say, you might be. I hope someday, maybe some of you might reach that point. But he addressed us all as, hear me, you carriers of my glory. Settled, period. Amen. Amen. Double amen that. Yes. The days of window shopping are over. In him, every face is unveiled. Well, we know like Moses in the Old Covenant, Moses had to wear a veil when he got into the presence, into the glory of God. But in the New Covenant, no need. We don't wear a veil. We just radiate the presence of the Lord. The Lord says, let your light so shine. And don't hide your light under a bushel. Why would you want to hide your light under a bushel? You know, let it shine for others to see. So he says, every face unveiled, in gazing with wonder at the loveliness of God displayed in human form. You know, just to sidetrack here in John 1:14, it says, and the Word, which is Christ, became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while amongst us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, majesty, and such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. That's for us. So in gazing with wonder at the loveliness of God displayed in human form, we suddenly realize that we are looking into a mirror where every feature of his image articulated in Christ is reflected within us. It's reflected in us, every feature of his image. This radical transformation, and listen to this, like this, this radical transformation is engineered by the Spirit of the Lord. He's the engineer behind it. He's the one working, tweaking, working things, engineering the process, the transformation process in each and every one of us. By the Spirit of the Lord, we are led from an inferior mindset to the revealed endorsement of our authentic identity. That's our authentic identity. So that just puts an end to identity crisis. Who am I? You know, back in the age of you know, the 60s and 70s, so many people, major identity crises, don't know who they are, seeking, you know, got to go off on top of, you know, mountains and explore different type of hallucinogenic drugs to find all you had to do is look inward, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's, he says, is our authentic identity. Yeah. So that means that we are the exact resemblance, image, and likeness. We're not a prototype, but from that which it is drawn, the original, the original. I'll say that again because some of you seem like you didn't get that. That means we are the exact resemblance, image, and likeness of Jesus, not a prototype, exactly the same, but from that which it is drawn, which is from him. We're carriers of his glory. Carriers of his glory. I looked up the word carrier. We all know what carriers are, but a carrier is a person that carries, transports, expresses, and conveys something. Oh, you're really going to like this definition. Listen to this closely. A carrier is an entity or a person capable of carrying an electric charge. Oh, out of the glory. I'll say that again for the people in the back. Carrier is an entity or a person capable of carrying an electric charge. Hello, the anointing, the glory, the power of God, electricity. I know some of you have touched electrical charges and wires and you got a shock. Nothing can compare to the anointing. There's no power greater. And he and being a carrier of his glory, you're all carrying an electric charge in you. For what? So you can brag about it? So you can say, wow, I got power within me. No, to express that, to release it. So when someone you come in contact with needs healing, someone's down and out, someone has a depressed spirit upon them, you release that electric charge. Say, come here. Lay hands on them. Lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You see somebody acting weird on the street, you know, and all the signs are of a demonic possession or oppression. Go up to them and release your electric charge within them. Lay your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of him in Jesus' name. And that we will speak with new tongues. These signs will follow those that are carrying the electric charge. This anointing, this power. Carriers. We're carriers of his glory. Am I really? You better believe it. You better start believing it. That's how God started out the word for this year. He said, hear me, O carriers of his glory. Not just on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12 are you carriers. You know, a lot of times we've met, you know, a lot of people where they needed that jump start in their car and you had to hook up your cables to theirs and, you know. Well, sometimes you meet Christians and unbelievers where they need a jump start. They need that electrical charge, that surge from you, which is the glory, and minister into them. And you know what? The anointing makes dead things come alive. It makes dead things come alive. Somebody that's dead in their spirit, hook them up to that electric charge in you. And you determine the surge, you determine the power, not God. Well, just, you know, waiting for another infilling, you know, of the anointing and the power of God. And you know, it comes in levels, and we're going to talk more about that too. But we all have that glory within us. And you determined the levels of glory that you operate and you surge with. You know, it's not just a little dabble, do you? But, you know, in this day and age, you want to see results, especially for hurting people, especially to see the healed. And again, it's not just for Sunday morning, but it's for the rest of the week. So when, wherever you are, wherever you come in contact with, you know, coming out of Taco Bell, a drive-thru, and see a gentleman there, you know, homeless and not in his right mind, perfect opportunity to release my electric charge. You know, sir, would you like something to eat? Can I pray for you? God loves you. And just, you know, just release the power of God over and upon him. And, you know, that's what we are to do, carriers. A carrier doesn't withhold, doesn't keep things to himself. when Reuben drives the FedEx truck and he has all those packages, well, he doesn't drive up to his home up in his driveway and then just go have lunch and turn the TV on and leave the packages in his truck. He has to carry them and deliver them to people. And he has to he's a distribution center for these things. We're distribution centers for the glory of God. We are. We're distribution centers for electrical outlets, surges, to release that into people. But you're going to have to be bold. Don't keep that electrical charge, because if you don't use it, then it becomes deadened. You know, it kind of loses its power. If you never flip the switch on using things, you never use certain appliances, they lose their surge, their power. And of course, so you have to facilitate this electrical charge, this anointing. I just so love that definition. Yeah, Pastor Herman says to remind you, and I know you've heard this several times in the, and by the way, it is Kalika's birthday today. When she was in the hospital with streptococcus sepsis, which was deadly, and all of you know the whole story, and we all were up around her hospital bed there in Maui Memorial, Pastor Wayne, Pastor Robin, Pastor Herman, and myself, we all held hands. Pastor Herman was holding Pastor Wayne's hand, and they released the anointing into Kalika's body. And Pastor Herman says, because I was holding his hand, I was on the other end, he says it was like a 220 volt, bzz, you know, to where he just went backward, took a step backward. And power, electrical charges, the anointing, the glory, the presence of God was released into her body. And from that day forward, she started to recover. The next day, we went in a little late. We were exhausted from this whole thing, so we slept in a little bit. We went into the hospital about 10 a.m., walk into her room, and she's sitting up with the ventilator removed, eating chocolate pudding, and then smiling. And you know, every day, it was as a progression. She could do something that she couldn't do before. And the doctors just kept saying, all the naysayers, telling us to get, you know, her affairs in order. She might not make it. She's on heaven's doorstep. All of those things. They were just saying, she's a miracle. She's a miracle, a sign and a wonder. That was that power that we're talking about, the carriers. When Jesus, in Mark 5, all the throngs of people moving about, trying to touch him. Her Jesus was in town. Throngs of them pressing up against him and touching and moving him. And one woman with an issue of blood kept saying over and over again, kept saying, if I only can touch, if I can only get near to the master and touch him. Her faith was strong. She was activating her faith. Touches Jesus, and out of thousands of people, Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are saying, you're kidding, master. I mean, oh yeah, it's thousands of people pushing on you, touching you. You know, what do you mean? Somebody, who touched me? Jesus said, who touched me? And immediately, because of the woman's faith that drew on that electrical charge in Jesus, the glory, the power of God, and she was healed immediately, and her condition ceased, stopped, dried up immediately. Jesus, yeah, that was that, you know, the Bible says some, the virtue, the power going out, that electrical charge. Well, that was Jesus. Again, he's addressing us as carriers of his glory. We'll get into the scripture later, but he said, didn't I say, greater works shall ye not do? Isn't that great that such a great teacher that, you know, he didn't, you know, some people, some teachers I had in high school or, you know, some people that are teachers, it's like, yeah, they'll teach you, but they don't want you to excel beyond them, you know. It's like, you know, there's something in them, you know, that little bit of jealous thing, you know, I don't want you to be too great. I don't want you to surpass me. But Jesus isn't like that. He said, the things that I did, you're even going to do greater. You're going to surpass these things. What a master, what a savior, you know, in that. And you know what? Jesus had to grow into these things too. He had to grow into the anointing. He had to grow into the different levels. You may say, really? You got scriptures for that? Well, two of them right off the bat was Jairus' daughter. Okay, the woman is touching, the woman with the issue of blood. He was on his way to Jairus' daughter who was dying. And so he gets sidetracked by this woman with great faith. And so then after that, he proceeds. They're on the way to Jairus' daughter. Well, that was a couple hours in between, maybe. I'm not sure the exact time frame. But finally, when Jesus was on his way, Jairus comes and said, it's too late. My daughter passed away. And then Jesus just said, no, she hasn't passed away. She's sleeping. And so when Jesus gets to the house, Jairus's house, maybe a couple hours, but he raises her from the dead. He speaks to her and says, little girl, wake up. And he takes in the mom, the dad, and the three disciples with him. Then you notice later on from some time, I don't know what the time period was, but when Jesus hears that Mary Magdalene's brother Lazarus died, word got back to him. He didn't rush and get the bus. He didn't get on United Airlines and fly right away to when he was dying. He kind of took his time. 4 days went by before Jesus did anything, before he even moved in that direction to go towards Lazarus. Notice, 4 days. Jairus' daughter was a matter of hours from the time that she died. Lazarus was already stinketh, 4 days already. And so Jesus arrives and he wept and he was moved with compassion. But notice the progression in his ministry. Notice that, he went from a couple hours and then now it was like 4 days, raising the dead, calls Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus comes out. And I tell you, people were just amazed. That's that electrical charge. That's the anointing. In 2 Kings 13:21, you can just listen. When the dead man was cast into Elisha's grave, when his body touched Elisha's bones, bam, the man came back. He came to life and stood up, it said, on his feet. Elisha, the anointing, the electric surge power that was in him, even after he died, was still charging, was still alive in the grave, to where a man was thrown into his grave, dead, laying on top of Elisha's bones, and all of a sudden, oh, the electrical charge, boom, jolted that man, brought him back to life. And he jumps up on his feet, goes back home, calls his wife, you're never going to believe this. You're never going to believe this. This is awesome. This is awesome. Those days were amazing in those happenings. But these days are going to be even more awesome for us. Awesome for us. And who is the Lord going to use? All of you carriers of his glory. All of you carriers of his glory, all of you carrying that electrical charge and anointing and power of God within you, all of you, can I do it? Of course you can. Stop listening to those other negative naysayers. The enemy doesn't want you to operate in the anointing and this power. I love what Kenneth Copeland said recently. They had meetings at Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church in California. And he started out with saying, never look up to the enemy. Never look up, because that means he's above you. And he's already gotten the circumstances. You're beneath the circumstances. He said, always look down. Always look down. Keep him there. That's where he belongs, under our feet. When you talk to him, you're always looking down, not looking up like he's exalted and high and lifted up. No way. He's under our feet, below, and always, always remember that, always. So Elisha comes back to life. But the man that was thrown on Elisha's bones comes back to life. Well, Smith Wigglesworth understood this. He understood this too when he raised the dead. you know, and just as bold as a lion, walk into a funeral parlor and pick up a man and slam him against the wall several times, you know. Do that today, and you got lawyers and sue jobs and, you know, all of that. Slams him against the wall and speaks to him, and the man comes back to life. You know, just amazing things. And that was a carrier. He was a carrier of God's glory. Strong carrier of the, and not afraid to release it. Not afraid. Well, would it, stop thinking in your mind, will it work? Of course it'll work. Of course it'll work. Faith is that conduit that will release the power of God. And you have to have faith to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Without faith, it's not going to work. It sure worked for the woman with the issue. Sure worked for her and with countless others that exercise their faith. And if anything, just step out. God will cover you. He'll totally cover you. He covers your mistakes. He covers your shortcomings. As long as he knows your heart, that, you know, you have good intentions. And Lord, I'm just going to step out in faith. And you'd be surprised. Be surprised. The person that you're praying for, you know, just starts jumping up and down and saying the pain is gone. Or, you know, how about a tumor just falling right off their body? Or, you know, depression just leaving. On and on and on. We're to see these things. Tadal is the time. Because why? We're carriers of his glory. This transformation process of going from glory to glory is a daily progression in which God will give us the power to get there. We go there from glory to glory. This transformation begins to unfold, and we become more and more like him. You know, just because you got saved, just because you're saved, doesn't mean you know the Lord, really. Because if some people who get saved and just have in mind, well, heaven is my home, and you know, I'm not going to hell, and don't grow, don't renew their mind, and don't develop and transform, they're missing out on so much. They're missing out on this process of this going from transforming from glory to glory to glory. It's just like, you know, you're not staying an ugly duckling anymore. You're becoming this beautiful swan, this osmosis, you know, this beautiful butterfly. But it doesn't happen one time. It can happen in one day. It doesn't happen just the time you got saved and you accepted Jesus as Lord. But some people stay there their whole Christian life. They never get transformed. They never even start renewing their mind. I wish I could take credit for this saying, but I heard one minister say that every Christian needs a bouncer over his mind. You know, you remember bouncers when you used to go to those establishments and a bouncer would, you know, be at the door there to check you in. Big, burly, ugly looking guy. Usually they're bald head with tattoos and things. And, you know, muscles upon their muscles standing there. And you have to get past them. Well, we need bouncers over our minds to filter these thoughts that want to come in continually to go against the word of God. They have to go through the bouncer and they have to give the password. Well, what's the password? The word of God. And so Christians, when they become saved, sometimes that glory process, the transformation, they don't further along and do anything to further it. If I can ask each and every one of you, where are you all in this glory process right now? From glory, a lot of us are not all on the same level, you know. We all have that electrical charge. We're all carriers of his glory. But where are you in this glory process? Some are a little bit more developed, some aren't, but you determine how far you'll go transforming. God's not going to do it for you. My goodness, he's given us everything, and the glory is so precious. Do you know that you have to be a trusted people, a people that God endorses? puts a seal of approval on to carry his glory. It's not just get saved, you know, and then the glory is just dumped in you. It just doesn't fall on you because, you know, there's certain things. One thing that will stop the glory transformation, the process from going from glory to glory, is sin. If you continually sin or stay in sin, that'll stop the transformation process. It'll basically just shut it down. But then, you know, when we sin, we know what to do. We repent, and then we get right back on and keep on transforming. Glory to glory, the more like him. Some of you, my gosh, some people that haven't met you from the time of your high school days or your Wailuku Elementary days wouldn't recognize you, not because of your physical features, but how much you've changed. They'll say, Jaime, is that you? You know, so-and-so, Harold, my goodness, is that you? You've just changed so much. And that's a compliment. That's a, don't say, ah, nah, you know, I'm still the same. No, you're not. Brand new creatures, brand new authentic creatures filled with electrical charges just waiting to be released out there, looking to see who needs an electrical charge, who needs some power release today from within me. And that's not arrogant to think that way, because he addressed us as carriers of his glory, not to hoard to yourself, but to release it to a dying and a lost world. So we have to get busy. We have to get busy. So how far along are you in this glory process? The scripture says, you've all heard this in Philippians 2:12. It says that how we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me read the Amplified version. It says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. So it says, work out, and he's not talking about the gym, cultivate, carry out to the very goal, and fully complete your own salvation. So it's not just accepting Jesus as Lord. It's not just saying, oh, I received Jesus in my heart, and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and I go to church every Sunday. Where are you in the glory process, in this transformation process? And it tags along with the renewing of your mind as well. That's so, so, so important. But going on to what Amplified is saying, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can't be sinning and expect to grow in glory. You can't expect to, you know, continue to have that certain mindset, strongholds, bondages, and it'll stop the glory process in you. Yeah, you're still saved. Of course you are, sure. Heaven's still your home. But we are to be continually being transformed into what? His likeness, his image. Into where can't tell the difference between you and Jesus. Amen. When the glory process in you, you can't have a mixture in you as well, because sin will not only just stop the process, but there's dilution already. You can't have the world in you, sin, and the glory present. And so what do you do then when you do sin? Well, we know what to do when you miss it, but just get back on board again, back in his presence, back in his glory, and continue, just keep going further and further and further in his glory. The Holy Spirit prompts you. Well, Well, the Holy Spirit will help you along this line. He really will. He'll help you. The Lord, the Father, will give you the strength and help you along the way in this journey. But yet, my goodness, He's poured out His glory in us. And it's just like faith. It's up to you to increase your faith. Not only that, but this power that you're sitting on that is resident on the inside of you, we have to release it. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Some of you, you know, have just stepped out and shine like, you know, like that light on top of a hill, and that's great. Keep on shining. Keep being bold. But, you know, there's the thing, too, like the flesh. You know, the Holy Spirit in this process will go to some of you and say, son, daughter, I want you to spend some time in prayer, maybe fast, just today, fast, skip a meal, spend some time in prayer for our nation, the president, just, you know, for some other things that he's laid on your heart. And immediately, what does the flesh will bring to your mind? Netflix, drive-through, McDonald's with two Big Macs, double fries, and a large shake. It happens all the time, you know. The Lord prompts you to do something, and the flesh right away counteracts it with something else. Just nestle in the evening. It's raining out, you know. Yeah, Netflix has some good movies on tonight. Get in the car and drive, you know, maybe go through a drive-thru. You know, which one are you going to yield to? You're going to yield more to the spirit, or you're going to yield to the flesh? Some of us just cater too much to our flesh. We're just so easy on our flesh. You've got to be hard on the flesh. You've got to be hard on it, especially when it comes to the things of the spirit and where we're going this year as being carriers of His glory. Real fast, I won't spend a lot of time on them, and these are not deep, deep things. A lot of them you already know to do, but there are seven ways that you can put God's glory on display on a daily basis, and I'll go through them really fast. First one is confessing your sins. What? Yeah, confessing your sins. When you confess your sins, you are putting on display God's glory by declaring His righteousness. Second way that you can put God's glory on display, it's a big one, forgiving others. When we forgive others, we are proclaiming His compassion and eagerness to forgive. It's been said that we are never more like God than when we forgive. Third way you can put His glory on display, simply trusting God. Demonstrating your trust in Him puts His nature and character on display. Trusting God declares His glory. It does. This is a big one. Number four, producing fruit. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and that your fruit shall remain. John 15:16. The fifth way of giving God glory, putting it on display, is giving thanks. Psalm 50:23 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. Expressions of gratitude to God sets His glory on a pedestal. My. Sixth way is simply prayer. Prayer shines the spotlight on God's attributes of goodness and omnipotence, where He's everywhere and He's good. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will glorify me. Psalm 50:15. And then another way that we will glorify God, put His glory on display, is it says in John 14:12, we shall do, and we better start doing the greater works. Listen to this out of the Passion. 1 John It says, I tell you this timeless truth. It's a timeless truth. Never wears old, doesn't have an expiration date. The person who follows me in faith, now get that, follows me in faith. Faith is key there. Believing in me will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. So another way is doing the greater works, but it all starts with acknowledging, recognizing you have the power, the electrical charge in you, the glory of God in you. All of you do. And it needs to be released. Start looking for ways to release it. Looking for people, targeting people, and you'll be surprised how you'll release the glory of God. God's not going to just come down one day and he says, yes, his glory will cover the earth. How do you think his glory is going to cover the earth? Through us, through the Christians, through the many people going throughout the land, the nations, releasing the glory of God. Yes, God's glory will cover the earth. But yet we have such a role, such an important role to play in this. I'm going to close with this scripture, and it's in Matthew 5:14. It says, and it's out of the Passion, your lives light up the world. Your life lights up the world. Yeah, it does. You that just got saved last week, you who maybe been a Christian for 20, 30 years, you light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. You can also say it this way. So don't hide the glory. Don't hide the glory. Don't put the glory of God under a bushel and hide. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this at work, saying anything. You know, well, yes, we understand, you know, it's your workplace, but you get breaks, you get a lunchtime afterwards. I remember at one job, a retail store I worked at on our break, we got one girl, we called her into the dressing room. We said, hey, you know, because, you know, our break was very, very little. Called her in the dressing room, we got her filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. And, yeah, she got filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Glory to God, you know, why not? You know, it was on my time anyway. And so, yeah, let your light shine and let the glory shine. So don't hide your glory. Now, I just inserted that, but originally it says, don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and they will give their praises to your Father, which is in heaven. Yeah, when you withhold the glory, you're placing a covering over your light, over yourself. And why would you want to do that? You know, there's no secret, you know, Christians anymore, you know, to where you're undercover, where to openly display the glory of God. Let the glory of God be seen upon your faces. This morning when we were praising and worshiping, could see glory shining, radiating from some of your faces. You know, I don't know if anybody ever came up to you and says, your face is just shining. It's just radiating. You're glowing. Well, being in love will do that too, you know, but we're talking about the glory. Yeah, we're talking about the glory here and emanating that electric charge on the inside of you, the power of God. Hear me, O carriers of my glory. Hear me, O carriers of my glory. Well, this morning, I felt impressed that the Lord wanted to do something. Glory wants to release, the Lord wants to release His glory upon the married couples. If you want it. So.